Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And then after this, I will be reading 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4 reads, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away."
It's a blessing to be here this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth and have been doing so. And it's always a blessing to be able to see the people of God assembling with one another, those who are visiting with us, those who may not be members of the Lord's church, Church of Christ, those who are anticipating becoming one. We do want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here. We definitely want to keep those who are on our prayer list in our prayers, and let's just keep them in our thoughts, and let's make sure that we don't forget about them. On last week, we started the series for the month, The Maturation of Truth, and Brother Ryan Smithy gave that lesson. Appreciate him stepping in and preaching the word. We appreciate he and his family being here, and the blessing of them being with us we've already seen dividends, and we're thankful for that. When we think about the maturation of truth, one of the reasons why I wanted Matthew chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5 read is because we're going to look at the maturing aspect of the truth of God's word and what it can actually do in the life of a person who humbles themselves to the truth of God's word. And so we're not just going to be stating a bunch of facts concerning the truth of God's word. However, we're going to be looking at how the truth actually benefited a man of God, and it can benefit us too, and should. And one thing that we know about truth, when it first came out, especially as it relates to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through verse number 10, we know that there was a progression of the revelation of God's word. And what we mean by that is that God was revealing his will over a period of time through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And in that revelation of truth, the apostles were responsible for writing that down, Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. And as they wrote it down and it was circulating among the churches, the people of God were able to read that and govern their lives accordingly. Therefore, they were being transformed by the renewing of their minds, which is very important. Because when we consider the revelation of God's word, Mark chapter 8, 22 through 24, remember, we studied this a couple of weeks ago, if you was here on a Sunday night, talking about the miracles of Jesus and how Jesus, when he healed this man by taking him out of town and spitting in his face, and he said, "Do you see anything?" He said, "I see men walking as trees." And so he did it again. And the next thing you know, he was able to see clearly. The idea there is the progression of truth actually takes time. Now, I want us to consider something as it relates to the maturation of truth in the life of us, in the life of the Apostle Peter. And that's who we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at Peter's life and have a lot to say, and hopefully I'll get you out by 1 o'clock. Hopefully. When we think about maturation, maturation is the process of ripening or coming to maturity, to be in or coming to a complete state, a complete state. And no wonder Apostle Paul would say that I'm striving, I have not yet arrived. I'm still working toward that complete state. But it's interesting, and I know we have different ideas concerning being complete. However, Colossians 2 and verse number 10, the Bible demonstrates to us that we're complete in Christ. Now, how did God do that? How did God make us complete in Christ, yet we're not perfect? Friends, I believe when you get that balance, you'll really begin living your life the way God wants you to live, that we are complete, but we're complete in Him. And so when we consider this, friends, we want to use Peter as an object lesson, because when we examine his life and see that he himself, even though he was complete in the Savior, complete in Christ, yet he had some things he needed to work on, and that's fine. And so here we come across a man that the Bible demonstrates in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 3. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Peter was all about growth. If anybody wanted to grow, it was Peter. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, Peter would say this very same thing as relates to the growth process, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If anything, Peter was about maturation. He was about growth. And truth be told, truth actually helps us to grow. That's why when we consider the society we live in that's full of hypocrisy and full of lies and full of inconsistencies, it doesn't promote growth, not the spiritual growth. Friends, we want to grow and we want to mature. We don't want to be at the same level we are right now in 10 years. We want to continue to grow and be a people of growth. And so, again, unlike the world that we live in, there's not much growth going on spiritually. And so we want to grow. Number one, I want us to consider when Peter began in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18, he began as a fisherman. And Jesus calls him from being a fisherman. And the more I thought about that, I thought about here is a man that was called from being a fisherman to 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 4, Brother Clark, an elder in the church. From a fisherman to an elder. But he didn't get there overnight. He didn't get there by accident. He didn't get there by happenstance. He matured into this man. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 4 and verse number 18 that when Jesus called, immediately he left his net and followed Jesus. Friends, if you want to grow, you got to immediately leave and cleave to God. Amen? You got to immediately leave and cleave to God. There are some people who are, they really want to come to Christ, but they're holding on to things. Well, Peter teaches us that you have to immediately follow the Lord, verse number 19. This man here was known as Cephas, a stone, also known as Simon, Mark chapter 3 and verse number 16. But he was also a man that understood that being called, it was a responsibility. Let me give you a quick point. Put this in your notes if you're taking notes. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14, the Bible teaches us that we're called by the gospel. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. It's the only power that God has left upon the earth that's going to save man. There's no other power whatsoever but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we consider that, here we find the one who was going to be bringing forth the gospel, calling Peter and, of course, other men. But we're going to focus on Peter, how he called this particular man. And this man here was a great man. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 14, we find that Peter was a husband. He was a husband. That's an honorable position to be in. That's an honorable. You know that Jesus Christ is the husband of the church, Ephesians chapter 1. An honorable position to be in. Wife, that's an honorable position to be in as well. As a matter of fact, you want to be one if you're not. We stop and we consider this and we see that he was a devoted husband. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 14. Here we can imply some things that are very powerful and worthy of our consideration as it relates to the maturation of truth. Should truth grow us up? Should it mature us? in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 14, notice what the Bible here says. Now, when Jesus had came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Now, that's interesting. Here we see that Peter had a wife, and we see that he had a mother-in-law, which also demonstrates to us that, of course, being married, later on being an elder in the Lord's church, in order for a man to be an elder in the Lord's church, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, he has to be the husband of one wife. Not multiple wives, not a dead wife, but one wife. Here, it also implies that this man had children, but it also tells us that this man was faithful. Why? Because he met the qualifications, Brother Royce. In order to be an elder in the Lord's church, one should meet the qualifications. If not, why not? Here, this man met these qualifications, and he was a very honorable man, even though he had some things he needed to work on. So here we see that when we consider this man having a wife, this means that he was faithful to his wife, being an elder in the Lord's church. An unfaithful man can't be an elder in the Lord's church. There are so many things that are implied that helps us to understand that being a husband, one must be faithful. I venture to say that a man who preaches the gospel, teaches the word of God, must be faithful. An unfaithful man should not be teaching and preaching the word of God, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. Here we understand when we consider spouses, we need more spouses that are willing to please one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, turn your Bibles there. This is free. You don't got to give me anything for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. And you're probably asking, what does it have to do with Peter? It has everything to do with Peter. Because in order for him to be an elder in the Lord's church, he has to be this type of man. It ought to tell us something today in 2021. In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse number 33, but he who is married cares about the things of the world and how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. An unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord and how she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world and how she may please her husband. Friends, did you see that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's interesting that when we consider Peter being a man of maturity, a man of growth, we know he must have met these things. He must have done these things. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit would have allowed him to be an elder in the Lord's church and him not do these things. It is the Holy Spirit that appoints elders, not us. Acts 20 and verse number 28. And so here we gain wisdom and understanding of God's word and perspective on life. And life ought to get clearer for us as we mature in Christ. Life ought to become straighter as we are thinking and holier as we are heaven bound in our thinking. Helps us to walk circumspectly and intentionally. We think about Peter's life, and he did walk circumspectly. He did walk intently. I know you're fast-forwarding in your mind thinking of the mistakes that Peter made. But if you really think about it, all of us make mistakes along the way. Praise God for the mercy of God. Praise God for his compassion. Praise God that he is a God that looks at our lives and he compares it to the life of Christ. Peter was that man that had a good heart. So we're not like those who are hard-hearted like the world. Matthew 24, verse 12. Those who are negative because of their surroundings. Those who are naive because we operate. Those who are not naive, operating in a world where you need wisdom. Proverbs 4 and verse number 8 and following. Number 2, Peter shows us how to ask questions and the courage to do so. As I was thinking about this and pondering about the maturation of truth and what does truth do, it ought to help us ask good questions. I was talking to a good brother the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, Brother Trent Thrasher, and him and I are real good friends. And as we was talking about how students of the Word of God always have questions. You can tell when someone is studying, they have questions. You can tell when someone's not studying, they don't have questions. Because there's no way you can go to the Word of God, the mind of God, and not come out with some questions. It's just the depth of God's Word, it necessitates questions. And so here, Peter was one who would always ask questions. Let me give you a few of them that he would ask. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14, Jesus is talking about that which defiles a man. And I love verse number 15. If you will, turn your Bible there and look at something about Peter. We see a man that is growing, a man that is maturing. He's walking with the Lord. He's learning every day. Yet he's not so arrogant to think that I know it all. And so he says in verse number 15, explain to us this parable. He had questions. He didn't know. It's all right to have questions. Have you ever met someone, or maybe you're that one person that knows it all? I met him. You met him. I mean, you talk about a subject, they know something about it. Good night. Is there anything that you don't know anything about? But anyway, I'll leave that alone. I digress. But Peter wasn't like that. Peter said, explain to us this parable. We don't understand it. Which means that Peter put himself in a position to develop his mind and conscience. And the only way to do that is to ask questions. Ask questions. Have you ever had a child that always thought they knew it all? Just to get out in life and realize that they didn't. In Matthew 18 and verse number 21, notice what the Bible here demonstrates to us. Because Peter asked a good question here. It's a great question, worthy of our attention. Instead of assuming, and you know what assuming does, instead of assuming, he asked a question. In Matthew 18 and verse number 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Then Jesus answers the question. The more I think about this man's life and how we see him maturing through all of the gospel accounts. And then when we get to the book of Acts, we see him maturing even more. And then when we look at him, even in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, we see him maturing even more. We see this progression of maturity. But why? Because of the truth. Because of the word of God, which tells us that we can't ask enough questions. If you don't know, ask. Ask, seek, knock. Matthew chapter 7. We think about that and Jesus clears that up. I believe it's Luke chapter 11. And he says, for the Holy Spirit. The idea there is the idea of revelation. And how God's revelation was going to be given to mankind to answer any question that he may have. And no wonder when we think about Peter and how he matured and he grew. Could it be because he asked good questions? Brother Brian, he asked good questions. He's always asking good questions. I love talking to that man because he just knows how to ask good questions. And you can never go wrong asking good questions. If your children ask you a lot of questions, answer them. That's how they mature. That's how they grow. When I was growing up, I remember you ask a lot of questions. You ask why, and mom or dad, or especially dad, maybe because he didn't have the answer, but he'd say, boy, don't ask me that. I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? You know what? We shouldn't do our children that way. They ask why, you ought to tell them why. That's how they develop. That's how their conscience is developed. And so if they have a question, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, you answer the question, and thus you are developing their conscience. And so that's what it's about, developing the conscience. And here we see Peter maturating, growing in grace and in knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number three, Peter demonstrated truth in his life by the humility he had. By the humility he had. Remember, he started off as a fisherman. Jesus is helping him grow. He's maturing him. He's patient with him. He's being long-suffering with him. Not just him, but we're focusing on Peter. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, one of my favorite passages of scripture, dealing with the apostle Luke. Very humble man. Yeah, he put himself out there. He talked too much every now and then, but don't we all? In Luke chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, we find something about this great man of God. Jesus was telling them to launch out into the deep for a catch. It's interesting that he was talking to the multitude, and now he's telling them to launch out into the deep. Notice Simon. Notice what he says. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. But notice his humbleness right here. Brother Ryan, but nevertheless, what? What does it say, Ryan?
At thy word, I will let down the net.
At thy word. It's enough that Jesus said, do it. Amen. Then now there's some attitudes. Well, let me see why. Okay, I can understand that. But here, nevertheless, at thy word, we've worked all night. We caught nothing. Jesus said, put it on this side. Okay, I'm going to do it. You know, we ought to have that attitude as well. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners, or their partners in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. You know, when you do God's will, it usually works out this way. You do your own will, it usually works out the other way. And even if it looks like it's working out, when you're not doing God's will, it's not working out. That's an oxymoron. You get it when you get home. Sometimes we look at the world and we see the success of the world. It's like, man, I want to be like that. Psalm 73, fret not evildoers. Don't be looking at them. Look at Jesus. Well, they have this particular idea, and this idea is working for them. Well, if it's contrary to the word of God and the will of God, leave it alone. Doesn't matter how good it looks. So here we see something that he did what Jesus said. And next thing you know, other people are benefiting because he did what Jesus said. But then look at verse 8. And notice the humility of this great man. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. You talking about humility? You're talking about looking at deity for who he is and him being humanity for who he is. And anytime you get that out of sorts, you're going to be in trouble. Here is a mature man. He realizes, and Jesus, as he demonstrates through this miracle, that he is deity, that he can be trusted, that he can be relied upon. The humble individual relies upon Jesus. It's great lessons for us. Number one, Jesus always knows what's best for us. Always. Always. Number two, we must always consider his position as Lord. Always. There's a song we sing. I think we crown the king. It's something that says something like that in the verse. We crown the king, crown the Lord as king. None of us have the power nor the authority to crown Jesus as king. Jesus, God did that. God crowned Jesus king, not us. Well, that may be a type of language that, you know, we're saying that we're making him king of our lives. No, you submit to that authority. We submit to his authority. He's king. And it's interesting, whether a person obeys the gospel or not, he's still king. So it doesn't matter. So Jesus is going to be king regardless. Here, Peter understood that. Peter saw that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, here, Peter gives a recount of Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 5, and Luke 9, 28 through 36, and he called it the Holy Mount. You remember, it was the Mountain of Transfiguration. It's when he changed his figure, literally. He went from the essence of humanity to the essence of deity. The Bible says that his clothes shone, it shined. Reminds me of 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 16, and it talks about how God cannot be approached because of unapproachable light. We think about Jesus and how he changed his figure, if you will, to his essence. The divine essence of glory. It caused me to think about how Peter responded to the vision and the voice of God, which demonstrates to us that Peter understood the privilege of being exposed to deity. Brother Dustin said something in his lesson, and it's often prayed here at this congregation. And we say this in all humility. We are blessed to have so many great godly men who preach the gospel here. Amen. We're blessed. Men who love the truth. Men who don't compromise the truth. Brother Royce gave a great lesson this morning in Bible class. Time out. Station of identification. If you're not coming to Bible class, think about it. Think about it. You notice I didn't say you need to come? You do, but think about it. Why? It's a great lesson this morning that we received from the Word of God. Great instruction. Here, Jesus, as he demonstrates his glory to Peter, James, and John, and Peter understood that, and we see something very interesting. Lord, it's good for us to have been here. That's what he said, Brother Royce. He was exposed to the light, exposed to deity, exposed to truth. And because of that, he hears the voice of God, which demonstrates to us that we ought to pay attention, just as Peter paid attention to the holiness of God. A passage was brought to my attention yesterday as well. Look at Hebrews 12. When you think about Peter and how Peter was standing before deity, Jesus is in his glorified essence, if you will, shining. He was in front of holiness. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 14, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We live in a time today where people are not pursuing peace and holiness, right? Those people will not see God. That's a direct passage. Friends, we think about the life and the maturation of truth, even in our own lives. It ought to be cultivating peace in our lives. It ought to be cultivating holiness in our lives. And the natural reward for that is seeing God. I praise God that we don't have to wait to get to heaven to see God. We can see God in our lives. God is so good to give us that. Number four, we see Peter and his downfalls. I put this number four on purpose because I wanted to build Peter up in our minds. A lot of times we think about Peter being impulsive and saying things he had no business saying and taking his sword out and cutting off people's ears and rebuking the Lord. We see Peter like that. Maybe it's just the way we are as humans. I don't know, but there was a lot of good about Peter. Lots of good about Peter. Peter even said some things to that little girl around the fire. He cussed her out. That was interesting too. Kind of reminds me of some of us. Put us in a situation we might just cuss you out. Ain't that right? Yeah. I know it's true. Let that settle in. Let that settle in your mind a little bit. Before we get become too hard on Peter, we probably need to look at our own self too, right? In John 13, he struggled with letting the Lord wash his feet. Look at John 13, 7. Could this be the reason why they were struggling with this? Could this be the reason? I don't know. Just could it be? In John 13, 7, Jesus says something that's very interesting, which also demonstrates that there is a maturation process, that there's a growth process that must take place here. In John 13, 7, Jesus says, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Sounds like, you're going to grow into this knowledge. There's some things you can be exposed to, you can hear, but you just don't understand. That's why you have to teach your children. That's why we have to put ourselves in a position to learn things, to hear things that we haven't heard before that come forth from the Word of God. And then 2 weeks later, it just pops in your mind, wow, okay, I get it now. The connection's been made. Unless you got high IQs like some people that's up in this building that gets things real quick. You got some lower IQs like myself, man, you got to go around the block a couple times and realize, oh, I get it. That's fine too. Here's the key. Just get the point. Don't matter when you get it, just get it. Some people get it real quick. Some people have to go around the block a couple of times. Like, oh, okay. Just the one that's getting it real quick, don't look down at the one that's not getting it that quick. Right? And so here, could that be the reason? I don't know, but it makes sense to me. In Matthew 16, 23, he rebukes Jesus for speaking about going to the cross. Now here's Peter rebuking the Son of God. Here's Peter rebuking God. Like, don't tell me Peter didn't have his downfalls. Like, Jesus, no, you're not going to the cross. And then Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. And then in verse 24, he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is rebuking Peter. Peter, I mean, that's probably one of Peter's downfalls, but he learned from that. He understood that later on. Luke 22 and verse number 34, when he denied the Lord three times. One thing I love about Peter's attitude, chapter 22 and verse number 61, he wept bitterly. He had the right attitude, the right humility. And even after the Lord said, I'm going to pray for you, Luke 22 and verse 32, he still went out and denied the Lord. But he says something that's very powerful in Luke 22 and verse number 32. He said, but when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Brother Ryan, what does that tell me? That tells me that I don't have to stay in sin. I can grow out of this. But it takes the word of God. Get out of the catechism. Get out of these manuals. Get out of these creed books. Get out of the Vedas. Get out of these books that are written by men and get in the word of God. And guess, I guarantee you, you'll begin converting your mind. Amen. We stop and we think about, where does true maturation come from? It comes from the process of receiving information from God. Proverbs 24 and verse number 16, a righteous man falleth seven times and he rises again. He gets up. You find a person that's in sin and don't want to come out of it because they just don't feel like they can. You'll find a person not in their word and understanding it. But when you get that person in the word of God and they realize that, hey, God loves me and I am important and I am one that he sent his son for. Next thing you know, they're rising out of it because they can't stay in it. The word of God won't allow you. There's some things that the word of God just won't allow. It won't allow it. Look at Galatians 2, 11 through 15. In Galatians 2, 11 through 15, now keep in mind, Peter had his downfalls. He had his downfalls, friends, and we're about to read it. We're about to read this. It's interesting, something about Peter. Now, when Peter, verse number 11, had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Now, this is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, getting into the face of Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, because he was to be blamed. Paul, what did Peter do? For certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, those the Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. Peter was a hypocrite in this moment, so that even Barnabas, the son of consolation, was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Here, Peter was playing the hypocrite. Here, he's sitting there and he's eating with the Gentiles. And now when his Jewish counterparts come, he just kind of withdraws himself, acting as if he's not with them, playing the hypocrite. This is an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is one that Jesus also told him in Acts chapter 10, that the Gentiles was going to be receiving the word of God through his mouth and that they were going to be saved through the house of Cornelius. So he understood that the Gentiles were going to be part of the church. He knew that. Yet he still played the hypocrite. He was being prejudiced. But then let's come to his defense as I represent Peter in this case. Go to Acts 15. As a good lawyer, he gets all of the information, wants to make sure that his client is represented well. I want to represent my client well. I don't want to misrepresent him. Because in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse number 6, notice what the Bible here says. And this is right after the situation that took place in Galatians chapter 2. Now, the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them." Stop. You know, there's no distinction when you're in Christ. It's part of our problem in the world that we live in today, and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it. Everybody's looking at the outward appearance of man, trying to categorize people by their tribe. The African-American tribe, the Caucasian tribe, the Hispanic tribe, the Chinese tribe, the Japanese tribe. That's dumb. Acts 17, 26, we're all one flesh, one blood. Well, they need to stay with their people, and they need to stay with their people. That's the most stupidest thing you can say if you say it. Because we're all one blood. Amen, praise God, hallelujah, walls, windows, and lights. It's amazing how we talk sometimes. Well, that's just the way I was brought up. Well, you better get out of it, because God made them one blood. And here, God made no distinction. So in Christ, there is no distinction. Building up walls where God didn't build up. Mike, get back to your lesson. I'm trying. Purifying their hearts by faith. But look at verse 10. "Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Friends, yeah, he messed it up, and Paul rebuked him for it, but he got it right. He got it right. And friends, we ought to get it right as well. Number five, maturation actually emboldened Peter. In Acts chapter 4, turn your Bibles there real quick. We find something very interesting about Peter. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when we think about what truth should do for us and to us, it ought to cause us to be courageous. Truth should embolden us. But you got to watch out for truth, because it also puff you up. So there's a balance there. But it's interesting, something about Peter and what others saw about him. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Let's stop real quick. Don't look down on uneducated and untrained men. Marshall Keeble, great gospel preacher, had a fifth or eighth grade education. Baptized thousands of people. Preached the gospel all over the United States of America during a time where he probably wasn't accepted by many, but he was educated in the Word of God. He didn't have the education of going to those fine schools, as he would say in some of his lessons, but he was educated in the Word of God. Sometimes we look down on people because they have not been educated, but if they've been educated in the Word of God and they got something to contribute, then they're worth something. But then the opposite is just as true. Just because you're not educated, don't look down on people who are educated, because you need both. Here, we find this particular man uneducated, untrained, and they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. If a man or a woman is going to be bold, you got to spend some time with Jesus. That's difficult at times, being bold for the Lord. Acts 5, verses 17 through 32, we see the boldness coming out. Look at Acts 5 and look at verses 29 and 31. In Acts 5, 29 and 31, we see something very interesting. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They wanted them to stop preaching. They wanted to stop the name of Christ from going forward. I was looking at a video with my wife just yesterday, and I think this was either in the Netherlands or it was overseas, Canada. It was somewhere. It wasn't in the United States of America. And they're trying to shut Christ down over there, too. So they're trying to shut Christ down over there. In Canada, the Netherlands, they're trying to shut down Christ here in America. Well, if you shut down Christ everywhere, then where's righteousness going to be? And so here, Peter and the rest of the apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Can you imagine telling someone that type of news? He said, you killed Jesus. They could have easily bowed down and said, okay, we'll just go to the next town, not worry about it. No, sometimes you got to look men in their face, women in their face, stand flat-footed and say what the word of God says. Amen. We're looking for ways of trying not to say what God says. No. In Acts 12, verses 1 through 4, now they're in front of Herod, the king. They've been cast into prison, Peter and James. James is killed. And next thing you know, we find the angel freeing Peter. Peter goes to the church. They had been praying for him and them. And he tells them everything that took place. Friends, we need to remember that our boldness can be very contagious. Just like fear. You know, fear can be very contagious. You think COVID-19 was contagious? What about fear? Shoot, real contagious. You know, boldness can be contagious too. In Philippians chapter 1, 13 and 14, when they saw Paul in his chains, men were preaching the gospel more so than ever. And so it's nothing like seeing a man of God stand up in the midst of opposition, reminded of a time Israel Rodriguez and I was talking. He's a gospel preacher in Brownsville. And it's interesting that he had a slew of brothers who called him in because of a doctrine and put him right in the middle of them, all of them around him sitting down. And I said, was you nervous? Yeah, I was nervous, but I knew why I was there, to stand for the gospel. Sometimes, because of a lack of truth, we don't stand. But friends, if you have the truth, stand and don't bow down. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be ugly. Just stand and let God do the fighting for you. And he does. And so we see this maturation in Peter as well. Peter was bold enough to say things like 2 Peter 3 and verse number 3, scoffers will come in the last days. Brother Roy said in his Bible class this morning that we got to be careful how and what we hear. Why? Because of false teachers. We can't be afraid to call a man a false teacher if that's what he is. Well, I don't want to offend nobody. He's offending God. Well, I don't want to. No. Peter had enough boldness to say, scoffers. In 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, turn your Bibles there and notice the maturation of this man of God. Remember, it was Paul that rebuked Peter to his face. He did it in front of the brethren. You know, some brothers probably would have gotten mad and left the church. Not Peter. Mm-mm. No, not Peter. He was a man of God. He was maturing. He was growing in grace. But notice what he says about the man that actually rebuked him in public for the thing that he did wrong. Notice in verse number, let's start at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as do also the rest of the scripture. Friends, do you realize the boldness and the courage that it took for Peter to acknowledge Paul? Now, y'all take this the way you want to take it. But the vaccine didn't start with Biden. It started with another administration. And this administration didn't even acknowledge it. That's messed up. And I'm not even political. But if a man deserves credit, even God says, give honor to whom what? Honor. That's Bible. It's just the right thing to do. And so here, Peter, who at one time was rebuked by Paul, gives honor to Paul for the good that he has done and the writings that he wrote. That's a great point. Friends, we need to be thinking. We need to have enough boldness to do the same, just as Paul did. He didn't mind calling out false teachers. He did what was right. Last but definitely not least, Paul understood suffering. Raise your hand in your mind if you like to suffer. Not many. But do you know that you can't get to heaven without it? Peter suffered a lot of things in his life. He made some mistakes. He saw the good that he done ill-treated. He saw his Lord ill-treated. But I find it very interesting that when you look up the word suffer or suffered, it's used more in Peter's writings, as if he learned something from suffering. 6 times the word suffered is used. Another 6 times the word suffered is used. Different words. He discussed suffering patiently. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. He discussed suffering in the realm of righteousness. 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. He talked about suffering for doing well. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 17. He talked about suffering as a Christian. Suffering as a Christian, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. He talks about suffering according to the will of God, 1 Peter 4, verse number 19. This man of God spoke of the Lord's suffering, and he wanted to suffer the same way and did. Look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 as we come to a close. Because when we think about the maturation of truth, when we think about growing, friends, you can't get out of this world as a child of God without suffering. Paul would say in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. You can't get out of here without suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice what the Bible says about Jesus. For to this you were called. Remember, we're called by the gospel. But we're called to do something else, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Doing the will of God, doing what is right, will hurt us sometimes, but it's for our good. I remember as a kid, Mama used to say, boy, I'm putting this belt on you because I love you. Well, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel that love, but I'm so glad that she did discipline me. I'm so glad that she did punish me, but before the discipline and the punishment, the love and the education took place. And I remember when I first got married, she said, Mike, you need to teach those kids before you put your hands on them. That's true. That's true. Teach them. That's one thing, God, you see in the Old Testament, God teaching his children, teaching them. And then, all right, you leave me no choice, Brother Ryan. Now I got to do this. You leave me no choice. Here we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, or 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 23, notice what the Bible there says. Who when he was reviled, they talked bad about him, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Why? Because he committed himself to him who judged righteously. Friends, we've got to be committed. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 1, I tell you, Peter learned. He grew. You in 1st and 2nd Peter, you're looking at a man that has grown up now. He's an elder in the Lord's church. He's grown now, which means that Paul was right that a novice, someone who just obeyed the gospel, someone who is young in the faith, shouldn't be an elder. Here, this man has gone through some things, learned some things, experienced some things, and now he's able to contribute. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Peter, what are you saying? You know, when you tell yourself, I'm going to do what's right, even though my flesh wants to do this, it hurts. It's strenuous. It causes stress on the mind and the body. But when you do what God says, you can know, okay, I passed that test. I passed that temptation, rather. And because of that, man, I'm just like my Lord. God was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Look at chapter 5, verse number 10. And I leave you with this thought, because it's so powerful how this man grew. But it was because of the truth of the gospel. And that's why what Brother Roy said this morning, it was so apropos as it relates to someone who's been in the Lord a long time that they should never get to a point where they say, now, somebody needs to serve me. No, you ought to be serving to the day you die. Jesus did. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. Let's start at verse 8. Let's grab some of this context. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not the only ones going through it. And I'm glad that we saw that video yesterday, Evelyn, because it's good to know that brethren over there, they're going through the same thing that we are in America. They're trying to shut Christ down. And that's when we stand up and say, you ain't going to shut it down here. No, you're not going to shut it down here. We're going to keep worshiping God. We're going to keep honoring God. We're going to continue to live out the life of Christ in our lives. And we're going to continue to grow in grace. And we're going to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to keep on doing that. And so notice what he says. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, watch this. After you have suffered a while. If anybody can talk about suffering, it ought to be the Apostle Peter. He suffered. But he says, after you suffered a while, Peter is also teaching us, you can't get out of this world. You can't get to heaven without suffering some. I know we have people out here with this prosperity gospel, this gospel out here. It doesn't matter what you do. You can just be who you are. No, you're going to be like Christ. He's the only example that God has given us from glory, from heaven. He says, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Friends, we're talking about a man who grew. And that's what truth does. It helps you grow up. Again, the society in which we live in wants men to be boys. Friends, men need to be men. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 10, you need to put away the childish things and man up. Got too many men playing games. Too many men not taking care of their families. Too many men want to play house. Too many men. We need men. We need men in the church. We need men that love the Lord and don't fear opposition. Those type of men are looked down as being patriotic, or patriarchal rather. And friends, no, we need men. It's time for women to want to marry a man. We've got too many want to marry a man, a boy that just wear breeches. And some of them don't even want to wear breeches no more. Want to wear skilts and all the other things. Talking about defying logic. To defy logic is to defy God. You think about that. Y'all seen those commercials? Defy logic. Yeah, defy God. Don't do that. Grow. We need women. Women that are willing to grow up and be reverent, respectful, and strong. I told a young lady the other day, if a woman is well qualified to run a company, Fortune 500 company, even the United States of America, then if she's qualified, she's qualified. But you ought to have a man that's going to step up and be a man, and a woman that's going to take care of her business. And that's what the church is supposed to be about. We ought to be the example to the world of what it means to be grown. And all of us, show or don't show, that we believe in God by our actions. Friends, all of us need to grow. But don't fall for the language. Well, I'm human. Don't fall for that language. Don't fall for that language. Because you're just giving yourself an out. I had a man, brother in Christ, tell me right before I got married. He said, if you're 99% sure, don't do it. Appreciated that. If you leave a door open for the back end, you're going to take it. What are you saying, Brother Mike? Be committed. Be all in when it comes to Jesus Christ. Be all in when it comes to the Church of Christ. Don't be funneling with denominationalism. Don't be funneling with that, those things out there. There's no salvation there. Salvation's in Christ. Brother Mike, why are you always saying stuff like that? Because it's true. But we got all these teachers and preachers out here, and they're lying to people. But if you're going to grow, you got to be in Christ. You got to stay in there. And you got to work out your salvation to be holy at the same time. And God will do something amazing in your life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Friends, you can't ask for a better reward than that. You can't ask for a better reward. You're not a child of God. We want you to be. You've heard the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And just as Peter immediately left his net and followed the Lord, you can immediately walk down this aisle, and we'll baptize you into Christ, and we'll continue to help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been growing. Maybe you have been pseudo-growing, falsely growing. Maybe it appears like you've been growing, but you're living in sin. Don't do that. Don't do that. God has done too much for you to live contrary to him. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.